It is Super Bowl week, and attention is on Atlanta, where it's going to be the Rams up against the New England Patriots. And, of course, after the AFC-NFC championship games, people still talking about the officiating. And I thought to myself, let's let this thing calm down a little bit. And then I was going to reach out to somebody that I've respected for a number of years. He has refereed 3 Super Bowls, 10 NFL championship games, and 6 Pro Bowls. He is the Dean of NFL Referees, NFL official for some 31 seasons. Jim Tunney joins us on Sports Byline. Jim, let me start by saying, when you watch football today and watch a game, what do you look for? Do you still fall into that mode of officiating when you watch a game?
Absolutely. The first thing I'm looking at is the position of the officials. Officiating is not that tough if you're in the right position and you know what to call, but positioning is key. If you don't have to call and you're not in the right position, you're going to make a mistake. So I'm looking to see where, when there's a fumble, what are the side officials doing? What's the middle guy doing? If there's an intercepted pass, what's the referee going to do? What's the umpire going to do? Where are they going to go? And so there's always a scramble and repositioning of officials, and that's primary for me.
How much of a challenge is it today refereeing an NFL game, particularly one with so much stress on it, like an NFC-AFC championship game, than it was when you first started officiating?
There was always stress, Ron, but today it's even greater on these guys because things are, first of all, the players are just bigger and stronger and faster. Second, they're doing so many different things. The catches that these receivers make now, Boyd Dowler couldn't make those catches, and Max McGee did in the first Super Bowl one-handed, but you didn't see many one-handed catches before. And the defensive guys are not just tackling the runners now. They're blasting through them, and what I call Terminator football. That's why this helmet-to-helmet rule came in so strong. We've always had helmet-to-helmet. We've never allowed that. But it's so much more prevalent now because these players, they get them so quickly.
Yeah, also, when you think about the fact that you do have replay, that somebody can challenge a particular play, how much has that changed as far as psychologically for the officials as they referee a game? I know they don't want to be thinking about that, but I'm sure that technology that has come into the game today has changed some perceptions of the job that they do.
It has, and when it first started in 1986, we would say to the officials, forget about replay. Don't think about the replay. You just do your job, and if replay comes into being, okay, but don't try to think about if you were to do it over. Just react to the play. Read the play, follow your keys, and react to the play. But today, everything is reviewable. I had a guy write me today and said, I think we ought to review every pass interference, call or no call. I said, okay, how about would you review every roughing the passer? Would you review every defensive offside? Where do you stop? And I said, we had that game. It's called Madden 19. You can buy those video games. You can run them back and forth and back and forth. But this is played in real speed. And my question to people who are concerned about that pass interference in the NFC Championship, did you see it live? Did you see when the play happened that there was number one, a defensive pass interference, and number two, helmet to helmet? And some people said, yes, they saw it live. A lot of people said, I didn't really see it till the replay. Well, you can't officiate the game on the replay.
You know, I watched it and I saw it and I knew immediately both of those things I saw it. But then I've been used to looking at a game that way since I do play-by-play. But in your blog, you talk about something, and I think it's important that you let the fans know this, about inattentional blindness. Explain that.
It sounds a little too highfalutin, inattentional blindness. It's not that the official wasn't paying attention. It was that as he was looking at it, he didn't see everything. And I use the example of a magician. We've all sat in front of magicians and watched them do their magic. And when they get done, we say, how do you do that? Where did that lady come from? Oh, there was a cloth right there. Now there's a lady there. Or there was a lady there in the cloth, and now the lady's gone. How do they do that? Well, it's inattentional blindness. You don't see everything that's right there. Even driving down the street, sometimes a car comes out of nowhere. Where did that car come from? And it does happen in officiating. Now, we've got to protect against that, and that's why we got more than one official looking at the play. And that play had happened in New Orleans. If we'd had the back judge or the head lineman step up and say to the side judge, Did you see this? Did you see that? What did you see? I've had that question from Mr. McDally, who was my supervisor for a number of years, and you knew Art McDally very
sure.
well. And he would always say, what did you see on that play? He wasn't questioning me. He wanted to say, what did you see and what did I see on at live and on replay? So intentional blindness is you're looking right at it and you just don't see it.
In addition to inattentional blindness, I have always found in doing play-by-play, particularly in basketball, when the game gets within the last minute of the game, officials are very hesitant to blow the whistle. I'm wondering whether that same mind thought exists also in the NFL, especially in something like an NFC Championship game where you don't want to make a call if you're not absolutely sure that might affect the outcome.
And that's exactly what you should be thinking. You must be absolutely sure. I've always felt if the guy in the 60th row could call that foul, then I should call it. If he can't see it, then I can't see it. And we've said it many times. We get comments all the time about, what is let him play? Let him play. Well, we let him play, and you see what happened. So we've got to be able to get the ones that really counted. Again, Mr. McDally, the supervisor, would always say to us before the during the playoff games, as we're in our pre-game study, be sure that it's there. Don't guess. If you can't see it, don't. And you got to see the whole thing. You can't just see the contact of the defender against the receiver. You've got to see where the defender came from and how he got there. And was it intentional or was it just one of those football plays where you guys got to make a tackle? And the defender said, I knew I couldn't get there in time, so I was just going to knock the receiver down. Well, and that's exactly what the coaches are telling him to do. If he don't let him catch it, you knock him down. And people are coached to do things like that. And so it happens like that, Ron. We got to get it. We got to get it. And two or three people on that crew. Now, not every seven officials could see that. The line judge on the far side, the umpire standing back in the backfield, even the referee, they couldn't see it. But the headline, the side judge, and the back judge, when that ball goes in the air, you follow the ball. Go to where the ball is going. That's where the action is. Nothing else is happening in the rest of the field.
That's where I was going to next. We have seen many times today where officials get together, they talk it over. Sometimes they pick up the flag, they correspond with each other. Why wasn't that the case on that particular place? Because there, as you pointed, a back judge and a side judge as well.
If you come up with that answer, I'll applaud you. I don't know. It should have been done. It wasn't done, and it should have been. Had it been done, and the referee came down and said to the headliner, to the back judge, or to the side judge,
What did you see?
What do we have here? What's going on? I remember doing that in the Houston-Pittsburgh game, and you'll recall that a number of years ago, a Ray Renfro catch. And I was back with Pastor E when they threw the pass, and Ray Renfro caught it. Was he inbounds or out of bounds? Merlin Olsen, who was doing the game, said if we'd had replay, he'd have been out of bounds. I went down, Pastor E said, I think he caught it. I said, how do you know? I can't tell. Let's go down. So down to the back judges and to the field judge and said, what did you see? And we agreed that they agreed that, yes, he did catch the ball inbound. But that's something that I think all communication is actually the answer, isn't it? It is for me. On the field, you've got to talk to each other.
We only have a minute left, but we have Super Bowl 53 coming up. You refereed three Super Bowls. Briefly, tell us how that game is. The crews are put together. They're different and everything. How is that preparation for a game like that?
It is a different people who finish higher in their position, number one in their position, and they sit together for a couple of days. They'll talk over mechanics. They'll talk about communication. They'll talk about the headlines and the side judge communicating on every play that happens. And you've seen it happen. The side judge has it. He looks down and sees the runner is inbounds, and the headlines are getting on. Yes. The communication before the game is vital to what they do. And then when they get in the field, actually, Ron, sometimes the Super Bowl is easier to officiate than some of the games.
That's very interesting. Any particular moment in all the refereeing of the three Super Bowls that stick out in your mind in about 20 seconds?
Oh, we need 20 minutes. 20 seconds. But I think Super Bowl 11, which is in the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. I grew up just 4 miles from Rose Bowl. I watched Jackie Robinson play for Massey Junior College in the Rose Bowl. My dad refereed the Rose Bowl game. I worked Super Bowl game 30 years to the month the day after my dad refereed the Rose Bowl game. And this has always been a special place for me.
I can imagine. Congratulations. Tell everybody quickly how they can get your newsletter and blog.
It is very simple. I wrote a weekly blog called Jim at JimTunney.com. It's called On the Tunney Side of Sports, Jim, J-I-M, at JimTunney, T-U-N-N-E-Y, Jim at JimTunney.com. And be glad to have one on the blog.
Okay, thanks a lot. Take care, Jim.
Ron, good luck to you. Thanks for calling.
Jim Tunney with us. We continue on Sports Byline.